Coming up next on Sports and Stuff, COVID-19 rocks the NFL this week as Cam Newton gets tested positive with the coronavirus. I'm going to talk about that and my thoughts on him and the upcoming Patriots game. I'll also get you caught up on week 4 in the NFL with all the scores and highlights for you. We'll also talk about the NBA Finals, the end of the Stanley Cup Finals, and plenty more right here on Sports and Stuff, brought to you by Magic City Hi-Li. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen into my podcast and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. Hey, what's happening out there? This is John Meisner, and you are listening to Sports and Stuff on EPRN and all of our other media platforms out there. Want to welcome you aboard this week. Hope you're all staying safe and enjoying fall. And as we start the show this week, big story to talk about. COVID-19 hits quite a few players and quite a few teams. The Tennessee Titans have reported at least 20 players have been diagnosed with COVID. Their game that was scheduled to be played this week has been postponed. And the biggest story coming out of this was Cam Newton gets diagnosed with the coronavirus. Unfortunately, he will not play in the Patriots' next game against the Kansas City Chiefs, who also have a few players of their own that have been tested with COVID. That game was scheduled to be played on Sunday. It has since been postponed to Monday evening at 7:05 on CBS. And the Monday night game, which was supposed to be between the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers, that has been postponed just a little bit on Monday night to 8:50 p.m. So those are a couple of postponements, as well as the Titans, like I mentioned. But Cam Newton, as some may or may not have heard by now, will not be playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. In all likelihood, it will be Brian Hoyer, the Patriots' backup, which is going to kind of, well, it kind of stinks for the NFL, and it hurts for the Patriots, because not only do you not have your main quarterback, but it doesn't bring in as many viewers. Seeing a backup against Patrick Mahomes might be a little one-sided toward the Chiefs, but still, both teams have players tested with COVID. Of course, Cam Newton being the biggest one, obviously. I'm kind of wondering about that. Like, considering the Patriots have been pretty safe so far without having really, a whole lot of players or hardly anybody at all coming down with COVID, it kind of surprises me that Cam Newton came down with it, because you figure everybody's staying safe and staying isolated and quarantined while they can. I wouldn't think the Patriots would be dumb enough to, go out in public and not wear a mask. I think they're safe about that. So it had to have been something at home for Cam Newton. Maybe someone in his family might have had it or wasn't safe about it. I don't know. I don't know the specifics, but somehow Cam got it from somewhere. And so since he has it, everybody's trying to stay socially distanced from him, which is the right thing to do. All the Patriots players, as far as I know, have been tested since they were in contact with Newton while he had it, and nobody else has it except him, I believe. So still, kind of a shocker, really. I didn't see this coming. I don't think anybody saw this coming until on Saturday morning when I was scrolling on my phone and I saw it. I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And it's not good. It's not good for the Patriots or the NFL. But this weekend's game is supposed to be a big one. It's supposed to be the marquee game between the reigning Super Bowl champ Chiefs and the Patriots. It's supposed to be Newton versus Mahomes. And we will not be seeing that this week. We could always see it in the playoffs, possibly, but if they were to meet again. But it will not be happening this week, unfortunately. It will be probably Brian Hoyer. I almost said horror there for a sec. He's probably got his name mispronounced so many times. Hoyer is what I meant to say. Brian Hoyer will be starting this week. So that's the latest with Newton. Can only wish him well. I hope he recovers. I think he will. He should be fine as long as he's, you know, staying inside, staying quarantined. But just kind of came out of nowhere. It's not like, you know, the Patriots were around a lot of people other than, you know, their own teammates and coaches. So I don't know where that exactly came from. It was kind of mysterious, but for all we know, we'll never know. But those are the latest postponements, like I said, between the Chiefs and Patriots and the Falcons and the Packers. But definitely a big story. You know, I mean, first Donald Trump gets it, now Cam Newton gets it. Two big players and two big people in sports and news get it. I won't talk too much about Donald Trump, but still, interesting how, you know, that happens in less than a week, those two get it. So speaking of football, we'll get you caught up right now with the other scores this past Sunday. Starting with the Thursday night game between the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. The Broncos win that one 37-28. The Jets are 0-4 so far. They're just doing so badly. The Saints beat the Detroit Lions 35-29. The Lions had a big lead early in that game, but the Saints were able to come back and win that game. They're now 2-2. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Chargers 38-31. Brady had 5 touchdowns on the day. Boy, he was on fire. Only had 1 interception, which was a pick 6, actually. But other than that, played very, very well. And the Bucs are now 3-1. They've rebounded nicely after an opening day loss. So they look very good. Talk on Facebook was about Rob Gronkowski, that he hasn't been... you know, exactly been much of a factor so far, hasn't been targeted or thrown to. Some people think he doesn't look too good. I mean, he looks a lot different having, you know, lost a lot of weight. Looks a lot thinner. I think his best days are behind him. I mean, he's only back because, you know, Brady switched teams and didn't want to play with anybody else other than Brady. So I don't blame him. I mean, Brady's the greatest of all time, so I don't fault him for that, but yeah, he clearly doesn't look the same. I don't think he'll put up anywhere near as big of the numbers as he did in New England. But as long as he plays with Tom, that's really all that matters to him, I guess. So anyway, the Bengals beat the Jaguars 33-25. Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow gets his first win as a quarterback, so good for him. The Vikings beat the Texans 31-23. The Texans are 0-4. I mean, this is after making the playoffs last year. I can't remember a time where I've ever seen an 0-4 team actually come back and make the playoffs. They'd have to just about almost win out at this point. And I don't see that happening. Maybe kind of an early exit this year for the Texans, which is too bad because they have a good quarterback in Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, obviously. So they have a couple good players, but they haven't been doing well in these first 4 weeks, so it's concerning. They're 0-4 right now. Speaking of 4-0, or in this case, or 0-4, the Seahawks beat the Miami Dolphins 31-23. What a start to the season! Excuse me, sorry. What a start to the season for the Seahawks. Cam Newton. Russell Wilson. I got to get my names right. Russell Wilson has 16 touchdowns through the first 4 weeks. Good for him. He's on fire. And the Seahawks are looking great. I wouldn't be surprised if they come out of the NFC this year. I think it might be their year to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, they've already been there, what, twice in the last 10 years? So they could make it back again. We'll see. The Browns beat the Cowboys 49-38. Very high scoring game there between Baker Mayfield and Dak Prescott. Browns are able to come out on top in that one. Yeah, very high scoring game. Panthers beat the Cardinals. Carolina wins 31-21. It's funny because I saw the highlights for that. Carolina was seen singing Sweet Caroline in the locker room. I don't know if they do that after every game, but I thought it was kind of funny because they're the Carolina Panthers, so they have to sing a song with Carolina in the title. But yeah, I hope they didn't steal that from the Red Sox because they always play that at Fenway Park. But whatever the case is, they sang that, and you know, Well, they're not in the league to sing. They're in the league to play football, and they won. So that's all that matters. So anyway, continuing on here, the Ravens beat Washington football team 31-17. Ravens also just lost the Monday night game before that to the Chiefs. So they rebounded nicely in less than a week to beat Washington. So they're back on track. Rams beat the Giants 17-9. Very low scoring game there between Los Angeles and New York. Nothing really all that impressive. There was a lot of fighting going on in that game. A lot of little stupid stuff going on, but nothing serious. Just a lot of tension there. But Rams win that game. Bills beat the Raiders 30-23. The Bills are 4-0. There's a couple 4-0 teams. We got the Seahawks, like I said. The Bills are also 4-0. Yeah, they got something building there up there in Buffalo. Look out. I think the Bills are going to definitely make the playoffs this year and may even win a game. We'll see. Colts beat the Bears 19-11. And Colts have the best defense so far these first 4 weeks. They've been holding teams to an average of just 14 points. So they look very, very strong. So good for them. I'm happy for the Colts. And like I mentioned earlier about the postponements, you know, Patriots and Chiefs play Monday at 7:05, which I don't think I've ever seen a 7:05 game in the NFL. I feel like I'm watching baseball or basketball or hockey or whatever. But no, they're actually playing at 7:05 Monday night. And Falcons and Packers at 8:50. So that's pretty much week 4 in a nutshell. You know, I saw an unpopular opinion on Facebook that I want to share with all of you. I won't mention the name of this person, but they said something that really got my attention, and I'm going to bring it up here for those that are listening. I'm wondering if it may be a good idea for the NFL to put the season on pause temporarily until all the COVID cases start to die down and things start to settle down a little. I wonder if that would be the right thing to do. I mean, it's safe, but the consequences would be detrimental to the league because, you know, it relies on viewers and fans for money. So without the biggest sport in, you know, the country, then, what are Americans going to do on Sunday? What are they going to do? Just sit there and rake leaves in their backyard or something? Or carve a pumpkin? I mean, I don't know what they're... I mean, something's got to be done. I mean, the league is going to have all their coaches and general managers meet this week, so this will be talked about. I don't know what's going to come out of this. Hopefully they take the proper precautions. But, would it be too much to postpone this? Not cancel the season necessarily, but just postpone it for, a few weeks. I don't know. Just something I thought of and I saw earlier. So, wonder what you think. Let me know either on Facebook on our Sports and Stuff community group page, which is where I first posted the Cam Newton story about him contracting COVID. Or you can always email me. You can email me at RedSoxWatcher0627@gmail.com. Do you think the NFL should be postponed for now? And if so, for how long? And what will the consequences be? Think about it. And let me know if you want to. Love to interact with you. So we will take another break, and when we come back here on Sports and Stuff, we'll talk about the NBA Finals going on right now between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat. We'll be back with more Sports and Stuff right after this. Got a lot more to get to.
Proud sponsor of Sports and Stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com. Village Pizza is the family-owned East Hampton, Massachusetts establishment that has been serving the local community for over 40 years. Well known for their delicious Greek-style pizza pies and the best local spot to go hang out and watch a Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, or Patriots game, Village Pizza, 100 Union Street, East Hampton.
We are back here on Sports and Stuff, our first show in the month of October. John Meiser here with you. Hope you're staying safe and taking care of yourself. So as we continue on here, let's talk some NBA finals here, between the Heat and the Lakers. It's been pretty one-sided for the most part, as I thought it would be. The Lakers currently lead it 2-1 after 3 games. Could have been up 3-0 had the Heat not come through with a dominant performance, but I'll get to that in a second. But the first 2 games was pretty much all Lakers. They ran away with game one and won game two by 10 points. The way they were going, it looked like they were going to sweep the Heat, but not the case. The Heat come away with a big upset in game three, a triple-double by Jimmy Butler, in which he scored 40 points in. That is outstanding, an amazing game for Butler. Definitely the greatest game of his career, by far. He was dominant, very aggressive. So good for him. But I thought it was interesting after that game was over, he said to Rachel Nichols on TV that he doesn't even care that he got a triple-double. He just wanted to help the team win. And that's the right thing to say. It's a great mindset. Something I think LeBron probably needs to hear a little bit more of, because he tends to make it all about him. But great game for Butler. And I did not think the Heat were going to win a game in this series. Or if they did, I mean, they probably won't win more than one game, because I think the Lakers are significantly more talented and overmatched. The Heat are overmatched to the Lakers. The underdogs. The Lakers are definitely the favorites. I thought the Game 3 victory by the Heat was impressive, considering they didn't have a couple of their key players and had been pretty dominated the first 2 games, but they responded. And Butler put this team on his back and said, "Let's go, boys. I'm going to lead us to a game victory." And he did just that. So the Heat come away with a Game 3 victory. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't see them winning any more games, honestly. I think the Lakers are going to win this. If the Heat do make it a series, I would be very surprised. I mean, effort can only take you so far before talent wins out. So I think the Lakers will win this series. If the Heat end up putting themselves in a position where they could win it, it's probably because either the Lakers took them too lightly, or they made a bunch of mistakes, or the Heat just, you know, outworked them. Because that's what they did against the Celtics. They outworked them. Going back to that Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, the Celtics, I mean, they were a more talented team, but they didn't know how to use their talent to beat the Heat. I think the Lakers do have the talent, and they know how to make it work. It's just a matter of, can they beat them in a best of seven and win the championship? I think they can, but I don't know. The Heat think they have a chance. I'm not giving them a whole lot of hope, personally. I don't think they're going to beat the Lakers. Sorry if you're a Heat fan. I think that LeBron's got a great supporting cast around him. I mean, look at the talent he has. I mean, Anthony Davis, Rajon Rondo, who else they got? Caldwell Pope, I think. Who else was in that? I'm trying to remember if I left out anybody. Oh, Dwight Howard. So, yeah, I mean, he's got just an incredible team around him. Possibly the best supporting cast he's ever had, arguably. I mean, outside of Jimmy Butler, you know, I don't know if that... I don't think they have nearly as talented of a supporting cast around them. I think definitely the Lakers should win this series. I think they will win the series. I'll say they, now that it's going to go to a game five, I say they either win in five or maybe six at most, but probably five. I would be surprised if the Heat push this to six or seven games. I just don't see it happening. Or if it does, I still think the Lakers will come out on top. Although, well, in other sports, I guess now that I think about it, there have been examples where the best team does not always win. I mean, you take the case in baseball, for instance, this past year's World Series between the Astros and the Nationals back in 2019, the Astros were the better team. The Nationals won because they kept coming from behind every single game they were in. It was unbelievable how many times they had to fight from behind, and they did. I mean, they had an amazing amount of resiliency, but they had to do that because they didn't have more talent. They were undermanned. They were under talented. They had a lot of resiliency, but I mean, it's a case where the better team lost in the Astros, and I hope we're not heading down that same path with the Heat, because I mean, look, the Heat are a good team. They're good enough to make the playoffs, but they've gone a lot farther than I think people thought they would. Definitely a lot farther than I thought they would, personally. But still, I mean, compared to the Celtics, I think the Lakers have more experience and more talent. They should be able to beat the Miami Heat, and I think they will. So, take my word for it. I say the Lakers win that series. And also, speaking of finals, the Stanley Cup Finals wrapped up this week. The better team won, like I thought they would. The Lightning won Game 6 Monday night. They shut out the Dallas Stars, and good for Tampa. You know, they hadn't won a Stanley Cup in a little while, in about 16 years, since 2004. And I've said it before on this show, it makes a great story. You know, considering they got swept in the first round last year against the Columbus Blue Jackets, win their first game of the playoffs in 5 overtimes against Columbus. They come back, they win that series, and they go all the way to win a Stanley Cup. Good for them. They definitely deserved it. It's an exciting time to be a Tampa sports fan, if you think about it. The Lightning just won the Stanley Cup. The Buccaneers are off to a good start. And the Rays are in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's good stuff going on down in Tampa. And we'll talk a little baseball a little later on. But I'll just say that Lightning definitely deserved it. I definitely think this was the most unique and probably the most toughest Stanley Cup to win for the players, just because of the circumstances, without having any fans to hype them up. Their families were there, but it was different because everybody was kind of isolated. But players having to be away from home for so long, and their families not joining until late in the playoffs, it's just different. You know, very different, but in the end, the right team won. I definitely want to give our congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I was also happy for my friend Addison, who's a huge, huge Lightning fan. He loves that team so much. He was very happy. I texted him the night of that Stanley Cup victory. He kept posting so many pictures about it on Facebook, but it's understandable. You know, Yeah, great team. I mean, Victor Hedman won the Conn Smythe Trophy, I believe. Braden Point had a big playoffs, I should say, for Tampa. Andre Vasilevsky was dominant in goal. What a great goalie he is, boy. He's incredible. But, I mean, I give the Dallas Stars some credit, but I think they surprised a lot of people. I did not expect them to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. I thought it would have been either the Golden Knights or the Avalanche. But no, Dallas definitely deserved to, you know, get there based on how well they played. And I give Anton Hudobin, their goalie, a lot of credit. You know, it was a nice story for him, you know, being a backup and leading his team all the way to the end. But couldn't quite finish it. He gave his all. You know, I give him credit. You know, he's a very, very good goaltender, very experienced goalie at age 35. But the Lightning were just that much better. They just had more talent. So, good for Tampa. It definitely makes things more exciting down in Florida right now, I can tell you that. So, with that, we'll take another break here on Sports and Stuff, and when we come back, I'll talk about some baseball wildcard series for you. I'll get you caught up with all that, and we'll get you our Magic City highlight recap of the week as well. More Sports and Stuff after these words.
MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTWatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTWatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
You are listening to Sports and Stuff on EPRN. Welcome back, everybody. I'm John Meisner. Time to talk some playoff baseball right now as we continue on with the show. A lot of sweeps to go along in the wild card series. First time I've ever had a best of three wild card series in baseball. And so I'll get you caught up on all that. The Athletics are able to... It took all three games, but Oakland wins that wild card series against the White Sox. Let's see here. The Padres actually beat the Cardinals. This one surprised me. I thought the Cardinals would win that. But the Padres and Manny Machado and company, they beat St. Louis. They beat them in three games. But a lot of teams won the first two games, like the Astros. They beat the Twins. I feel bad for the Twins. They've lost so many consecutive playoff games. A lot of those were to the Yankees over the years. This time it was, you know, to the Astros the last two games. But boy, God, the Twins have, I don't know how many games it's been. What is it, like 15 or 16 in a row, I think? They haven't won a playoff game in God knows how long. I feel kind of bad for them. But I expected the Astros to win, and they did. And Tampa, like I mentioned a minute ago, they beat the Toronto Blue Jays the first two games of that series. They move on to the division series against is it? Hold on, I had it in front of me here. Who was it? Oh, the Yankees. I was going to get to that in a second here. Yeah, Yankees beat the Indians two straight times, so they'll be playing the Rays. First time Rays and Yankees, I believe, are playing a playoff series, if I'm not mistaken. The Braves beat the Cincinnati Reds. They won the two out of three, two in a row. Dodgers easily beat the Brewers. I knew the Dodgers would win that series. And the Marlins, the surprise team that nobody saw coming, that anybody thought was going to make the playoffs. They had so many players with coronavirus to start the year. And look at them. They're actually going to the division series. So they're definitely the kind of the surprise this year in the National League. So they beat the Cubs two straight times. They're going to the division series. Here are the division series for round one in the American League and National League. Astros and Athletics, Yankees and Rays, like I said. Marlins and the Braves, and the Padres and that's the American League. In the National League, we got Padres and the Dodgers. And who else is here? Did I leave anybody out? Nope, I think I got them all in there. So those are the series. And I think it should be exciting. It's those four series. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say the Rays beat the Yankees. I think the Rays have better pitching this year. They have very good. I mean, look at the starting rotation the Rays got. They got Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, and Charlie Morton are their top three. So they got an excellent starting rotation. And they could hit pretty well, too. So I say the Rays are going to win that series. And we got the Astros and Athletics. That one's interesting because, those are two very good teams. The Astros have a lot more playoff experience. But the Athletics have a good team. They've got good pitching as well. They've got a good offense that can hit some home runs and score. I could see that one maybe going all five games, possibly, but I'll say the Astros win in five. I'll say they outlast the Athletics. And the Padres-Dodgers, that's easy. Dodgers win. The Dodgers are definitely the favorite to come out of the National League this year. I don't think there's any question. I say Dodgers definitely win that series. Then we got Marlins and Braves. Ooh, that's... Marlins and Braves. I'll say Atlanta, but I think the Marlins are going to make some noise. That would be quite an upset if the Marlins beat the Braves, because I definitely think the Braves are a much stronger team. And they got good players like Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna Jr. and You know, Nick Markakis is good too. He was on the Orioles for a long time, but now he's with Atlanta. But boy, Marlins, man, they are making a big statement. I say Atlanta wins that, but I'm curious to see how the Marlins are going to do in that, if they'll win a game or two. So we'll see what happens. So for the pennant, hopefully it should be Rays against the Astros, which should actually be a rematch of last year. Did the Rays and Astros play in the? Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to remember. I know they played in the playoffs last year. I'm trying to remember if it was in the division series or the championship series. I think it was the division series, if I'm not mistaken. So that would be a rematch in the championship series if they were to meet. And for the National League, I'll say for the pennant, Dodgers definitely against, I'll say the Braves. So that's who I think will win. I think the Rays definitely have a very good rotation in the American League, though. The Yankees, you know, the thing with them is, you know, they've got guys that can hit home runs, but I just don't think their starting rotation is good enough to beat Tampa's. It's relied too much on offense, and they've had a lot of injuries this year. They haven't been completely healthy for this shortened season, so that's one thing the Rays have. They are very healthy. So that's what I think will happen, and should be good, should be exciting. These division series. So that's the latest with baseball. But like I said, the Marlins have been a big surprise. I didn't think they were going to beat the Cubs in that wild card series, but they did. Yeah, Cubs have. They make it back to the playoffs this year, but they don't win a single game, so I can't really say they've made much progress. They made it to the playoffs, and they lost. They didn't win any games, so... I think in the future, they'll definitely make it back to the playoffs and win more, so I kind of expect better out of them. But as far as the National League goes, I mean, the Dodgers are the favorite. I just don't see anybody beating them. I definitely see them making it back to the World Series. They may win it this year. They're just so loaded with talent. Mookie Betts has definitely helped that team even better. Cody Bellinger, you know, Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler. I mean, they got some great, great players. I just love that name, Walker Buehler. Buehler. I couldn't resist my Ben Stein impersonation. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Buehler. Yeah, anyone? Yeah. I think Fox actually kind of made fun of that when the 2018 World Series. I mean, it was kind of inevitable. They kind of had to do a little something with that. But, yeah, he's probably heard that too many times in his life. Sorry. but no, definitely, the Dodgers are definitely the favorite. I say Dodgers against either the Rays or the Astros in the World Series. But I like that baseball's keeping the sights neutral for these division and championship and World Series. It's the right thing to do. Keep everybody in one place. Keep them safe. Keep them isolated. You know, don't travel all over the place. So it's better that way. And we'll see what comes out of it. I don't think it's something that'll necessarily, you know, start a trend every year, but for this year, being that 2020 has been so crazy, it's the right thing to do, you know, to have a neutral site. Yeah, basketball and hockey did it, and I'm not surprised baseball's going down the same path, so it's a win-win, I think. We'll take another break here on Sports and Stuff, and when we come back, we'll get you our Magic City highlight or recap of the week. More Sports and Stuff after this.
Hi, I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Tune into Sports and Stuff weekly on EPRN. On the weekends, relax and catch a matinee highlight match on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays at noon. Highlight is entertaining, fast-paced, and has a deep cultural heritage that we're proud to bring to Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Magic City Highlight, only on EPRN.
We are back once again here on Sports and Stuff, and as we continue along, It's time to bring you our weekly Magic City Highlight recap of the week, sponsored by Magic City Highlight. Here it is.
We're back with the Week 21 edition of the Magic City Highlight Rabote Recap. After facing difficulties in his game last week, Douglas played with a chip on his shoulder in Week 21, dominating the competition with his laser focus, lethal power, and unparalleled shot-making skills. The Wonder Boy certainly performed up to his nickname, finishing with a ridiculous mark of 11 wins in just 19 appearances, giving him a 130-point total for the season so far. More importantly, number 13 extended his lead over first place in the singles championship standings up to 20 games, making it virtually impossible for anyone to overtake the coveted number one spot. Ron remains to be the only competitor with any chance of claiming the top spot, standing firmly in second place overall after collecting 3 wins to go along with 7 places and 1 show in Week 21. At a total of 110 victories, number 12 will need to regain that magical form in a hurry if he has any hope of making a push for the singles crown before it's too late. And holding on to that third and final bonus money slot is still number 22, Bueno. The second generation Pelotari exhibited improved catching, patience, and decision making that guided him to an enormous stat line of 7 wins, 8 places, and 7 shows. Bueno's 22 in the money finishes were the most amongst the entire roster, and he now stands at a total of 80 wins for the season. Just 9 games behind, in 4th place, we have Ben. Number 7 continued on with his great stretch of play, collecting 5 more wins to raise his season total to 71 singles victories. Rounding out the top 5, we have a tie of 2 Canes, Jeddin, and Tennessee with 60 wins each. Jeddin, the former Super Bowl champ, propelled up the standings in Week 21 after claiming 7 crucial wins. Tennessee, on the other hand, struggled to really get anything going, but he still managed to grind out 2 wins to add to his season total. The golden cesta for Week 21 goes to the Wonder Boy, Douglas. Number 13 captured his roster-leading 6th golden cesta of the year with a dominant 11-win performance. Douglas couldn't be stopped all week. He methodically sent his opponents back to the bench all week long with his truly remarkable and unrelenting highlight skill set. For the year, Douglas is winning over 37% of his appearances and finishing in the money at a clip of nearly 70%. At just 21 years old, the sky's the limit for this year. Young gun. Congrats again to Douglas for yet another Golden Cesta winning performance. Magic City had just 1 doubles game per performance in Week 21. Although there were just 6 total games, there was no shortage of excitement. The most notable standout play came from the super team of Anderlecht and Kubala, who finally made all the necessary adjustments to perform up to the elite level many expected from them at the start. Anderlecht and Kubala communicated more effectively and caught seemingly everything that came their way, ultimately winning 3 games in just 4 appearances as a doubles team in Week 21. Douglas competed with his 3rd different partner in the last 4 weeks, but that didn't stop him and Ossier from getting on the board as well. This pairing found the win column 2 times to go along with 3 shows, leading the Magic City roster with 5 total in the money finishes. And lastly, Bueno and Tennessee were the only other team to capture a win, looking more and more like the formidable duo that stole the hearts of Magic City Highlight fans during Tournament 1. They've certainly hit their stride at the right time, with the second doubles tournament of the Doubles Championship Series just around the corner. Shout out to this week's fantasy winners, Daisy is a Dog and Brown 73155. These 2 winning teams will each receive a Magic City Highlight t-shirt in addition to a share of the $150 cash prize for their stellar performances in Week 21. Watch our weekly fantasy review on our Instagram page at Highlight Channel for more details on the winning Week 21 lineup. Every week is a new chance to earn points for your fantasy team, so you can always come back to your team or join the league at any time. And remember, the cash prize of $150 sponsored by Magic City Highlight will remain unlocked as long as there are 150 active league members. But that's not all. If we surpass 200 active members, Magic City has agreed to increase the prize money to $200, and it will remain unlocked at that value. Visit fantasyhighlight.com to join the league for free, draft your own fantasy team, and start winning. This week's Rabote play goes to number 4, Bradley. Bradley's freakish athleticism consistently allows him to execute incredible, mind-blowing shots that others couldn't even dream of pulling off. Number 4 is never afraid to lay his body on the line and gives 110% every time he goes out on the court. This was all on full display as Bradley and Jedden battled for a point in the fourth game of the Friday matinee performance. Jedden thought he had the point secured after a powerful three-wall forehand, but Bradley held out to make an amazing one-handed diving Rabote save that would go on to earn him the point. We think it's safe to say that you're going to be hitting the rewind button on this RPW. Take a look as Bradley soars into this Rabote play of the week.
Outside placement by Bradley. Jedden gets there, returns it. Beautiful throw crossing the sidewall. Bradley with a tremendous Rabote save in the backcourt.
Thank you. That was our Magic City Highlight recap of the week. You can only get hear that on EPRN if you're listening. And I want to thank Magic City Highlight, of course, for their partnership, as well as our many other wonderful sponsors here on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. And so with that, don't have too much more to talk about this week. I will say that as far as news and entertainment is concerned, Helen Reddy passed away this past week, in case anybody didn't hear. Popular singer. So, you know, rest in peace. Our thoughts and prayers go out to her. And, yeah, as the next couple months go along, I can assure you out there, if you're listening, that being that sports are going to kind of, you know, dwindle down to basically just baseball and football, and then eventually just football until, you know, the seasons resume. In the other leagues, we'll look to get some more guests here on Sports and Stuff, give them some airtime. I'll take a back seat to them, which I certainly don't mind doing, so we'll be doing a lot more of that in the upcoming weeks. I won't say exactly who we got in mind here, but I think you'll like the choice of guests we're going to have. It should be pretty interesting and entertaining to everybody. And so, with that, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this week. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. I want to thank you for listening to Sports and Stuff. If you want to subscribe to the app, it's out there, either on Apple or Google Podcasts. You can always download our... I should say stream content. I'm getting my words mixed up here. if you want to look for the show, it's out on the internet. That's all I want to say. Google Podcasts or Apple's where you can find it, as well as SoundCloud. We're trying to increase the number of platforms we get here on Sports and Stuff to as many places as possible. So be sure to check that out. And like I said, we have an app as well. That's what I was trying to say. We can download the app. It's out there, the Sports and Stuff app. We're always trying to add as much content as possible. You can always look for past shows and any extra content we add from time to time. And so be sure to do that. And if you all want, anytime you want to email me or contact me, my email address is redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com. Again, that's Red Sox, like the baseball team, Red Sox Watcher 0627@gmail.com. So that's going to do it for this week here on Sports and Stuff. Sports and Stuff is brought to you by Magic City Highlight, Harold's Ice Cream, Village Pizza, and all of our other many, many wonderful sponsors here on the network that are always so supportive of us. I'm John Meiser. Thanks for listening to the show this week, and we will be back, I should say. My tongue's getting so tied this week. I don't know what's up with me. We'll be back next week with more Sports and Stuff. Hopefully I get my mouth on straight by next week. And we'll be sure to find some more guests in upcoming weeks here on the show. And I think you'll enjoy. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy fall. Stay safe. Enjoy the fall foliage. And we'll be back with more Sports and Stuff next week here on EPRN and all of our other media platforms. Until next week, for all the good folks here at the network, this is John Meisner signing off of Sports and Stuff. Take care, everyone. So long.